Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe it may have been my internet service.
I was finding out that I was only getting half the speed that I was paying for. I don't know how long that's been going on. I wish I knew, but because I'd be asking for, you know, them to credit it back to my account since it is a business account, certain level of service. Okay. Started doing some things at the last minute here, some things that I wanted to share, and I had just checked my email and saw where the state had, you know, replied to me concerning they will provide the equipment for the EBT program, which is a blessing for the simple reason, you know, that monthly charge, anything that I can keep from paying a monthly bill on, I'm trying to keep from paying it at this point. But, you know, they will actually do that, and so I just have to fill out the paperwork, one sheet, and send it back to them, and they will get me into the program where they will send out the terminal and stuff and provide the equipment to do it, and all I have to do to stay eligible for the program is run one transaction a year. Is that all? One transaction a year? So we are going to, you know, we're definitely going to do that. Let's see here. Okay. Everybody, this afternoon?
I'm sleepy.
You're sleepy?
I am.
Already? Did you not sleep good last night?
No, I didn't. We had tornadoes all night.
Oh, wow. Actual tornadoes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Nope.
And
we sound like a freight train.
Oh, you heard them?
Yeah.
Oh, because I've been in them before, yes. So I know they sound, yeah, they do sound like a train.
Yep.
And they tear up some stuff, too.
Yeah, they will.
So are you guys from under that threat now?
Yeah, we are now, but it's supposed to get cold and we're supposed to get snow.
Well, that's better than tornadoes, though, if I had to pick. If I had to pick, I would pick that. What about you, Sister Denise? How you doing?
I'm good.
You not sleeping?
No, I'm not. I went and took a nap.
Oh, you took a nap, huh? You're not yawning this evening,
yeah.
Huh?
Right.
All right. As soon as you start yawning, then I'm going to know I done got boring, or I'm boring anyway, and you're just trying to be nice. And you, Sister Lorraine?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Good.
Doing good?
How's
the nephew? I mean, as far as his other parts, they've improved, like his organs, but they haven't scheduled for surgery March 3rd to amputate both of his legs. So I'm still believing for a miracle, but that's what the doctors are saying, that's what they are getting ready to do. I got a chance to see him, and it was good to visit him. And I just feel bad for him.
And how old did you say he was? He's seven?
He's seven.
Yeah.
Well, Sister Lorraine, I'm going to do like you. I'm going to wait on the father because he got the last thing.
That's right. And I have been telling my sisters, you know, been sharing with them about, you know, five and parts of red tea. And you guys need to stop, you know, you need to start believing God and not always let the doctors say, you know, because
right.
We're all here.
Yeah.
I'm still believing for one.
Amen to that.
He was very active in, you know, talking to the body, and his life is going to change dramatically. You know, most of he's already back, you know. His body is healing, of course. He's still taking a lot of medication or morphine and high blood pressure medication and heart medication. But, you know, those things can be stable right now.
Some good news.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, Sister Lorraine, I believe in the Father. It ain't over till he says it.
Me too. I do too. And I told my sister that, and I said, I don't care what you guys believe. I'm not going to believe that.
Huh. Amen to that. Amen. All right. I think Sister Clara is trying to come in. She's going into the private room, but I hadn't added her to that list yet. And we've just been coming in this one, even though the email is saying go to the other room.
Go to the other room.
Is now in the conference.
Okay, is that you,
okay,
Sister Clara,
joining
on that line?
On that line.
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. All right. So.
All right. So.
Let's do this.
I'm gonna mute your phone.
Or you can mute it on your end because I get an echo back.
Okay, I'll mute it on my end too.
Okay. All right. So I also wanted to take this time to introduce Sister Clara to you guys. She's in Florida. She has decided to join us, and we want to extend the right hand of fellowship to her. And welcome her into Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry and part of the family. Amen.
Amen. Shalom, sister.
Let me unmute her.
Hello.
So if you're trying to talk, you're muted. You're on your end. But
I think I just unmuted you.
Hello. This is Summer.
All right, amen. So we'll go ahead and mute you, and as you need to, then you can unmute yourself. All right, that being said, I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. In session, do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order, and we will go ahead and do our statement of faith and pray in. And then, Sister Mary, I sent you back corrected copies of the minutes.
I have to go back into it because the lights and stuff was out. It was just a time down here today.
Oh, it was today?
Yeah. It started last night about like 10:30,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't end until like about 2 o'clock.
Okay, let me...
back-to-back storm.
Yeah, let me do this. I will bring those minutes up and put them in the room.
Okay.
And let's see if you can see them from there, if you can read them. Get your bifocals out.
Do I have to?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, let me upload those real quick because I didn't upload them for this meeting. Okay, yes, Ron Farms, I need to go to documents. Business. Okay, Gray Bar Ranch. I got too many. Uh-oh, corporate documents. I forgot. Yeah. All right. Yes, Run Farms meeting. Okay. So you're going to be reading the minutes from the 2nd of February and the 9th of February on this evening, my sister, and then we're going to vote to approve those minutes. Second and the 9th. Okay, it's going to take these a minute to upload. It should be there. All right, so after we pray, and I'll put them on the screen one at a time and see if you can see them and read them. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, men, uncover your heads, wherever you may be. want to welcome those who are new to this meeting. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give a Most High a hand clap of praise on this afternoon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify your name and we lift you up and we give you glory, honor, and praise, O Yah Elohim. So truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. And there is none like you, O Father. None like you. No, not one, Father. A righteous God. A glorious God. A loving God. A merciful God. Hallelujah. We just love you on today, Father. We love you, Elohim. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. God, thank you for keeping everybody safe. Hallelujah. Keep your finger away from your children, Father, for you said that you will protect us in all things. Let it only affect the wicked. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So, our scriptures for today are Psalms 133, verses 1-3. Psalms 133, verses 1-3. Can you guys hear that ringing on my computer? No?
Now I'm here.
Okay, good. All right. A Song of Solomon. 133 verses 1 through 3. A song of the degree of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, for there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and also doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Amen. Let me bring up these minutes.
Is my gospel?
Yes, ma'am. So the 2nd of February meeting, minutes first. And you are able to control the screen, so I'm going to let you control it where you can read it, Sister Mary.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Don't nobody else be clicking the screen, though.
This is our meeting we had on February 2nd, 2023. The time of our meeting was 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, and Sister Mary. Oh, come on, go up. Give me a minute.
It wouldn't go up?
I see you. I see you. Okay.
Okay.
We talked about the new site. The name of the site is the Hebrew Connection. Brother Miles is looking into this, and if this is okay, this may be a site to introduce YLC and YTKM. We discussed, and if we do this, our bylaw section 1 to 3 of YFCC bylaws will be on the site as well. We discussed the bylaws, section 11.09, A to E, processing of membership contracts.
I'm sorry, I might have moved that.
Pardon
me? I might have moved the screen.
No, I think I did that.
Okay.
Okay. Section 11.09B, paragraph 5, and C and E, was changes was made. Paragraph F was added on. We voted on this, all agreed, adopted as written. Section 11.10, A to G. Failure to establish a valued membership contract.
A valid.
I don't think we made any. Huh?
Valid.
Valid.
Yeah, failure to establish a valid membership contract. I think you said valid.
Yeah. Okay.
You got your bifocals on, right?
I do.
All right. So you tired?
Okay. I don't think we. Let me see. I haven't gotten there yet. Section 11.10 A and D changes was made. Section 11.10 E, F, D has to be reviewed. Section 11.11, no contract, no keys, will be discussed at the next meeting. Okay.
So that's those minutes. I reviewed these already. Anybody remember anything else going on that they want to add?
So far,
no.
Okay. All right, so I'm taking that as a negative. So I'm going to make a motion that we adopt the minute from the 2nd of February. That we adopt these minutes as read and written. Who's second? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now read the minutes from the 9th of February. And these will, as they were sent to you, Sister Mary, they should be filed as official. And I have them in my records. Okay, so let's bring up the next set of minutes. And these are from the 9th of February. Okay, and there you go.
Okay, thank you. Our last meeting was February the 9th, 2023. I hear
F. Yeah.
The time was 7 p.m. to 10:01 p.m. Attendance at the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, and Sister Mia.
Now, if you read from the minute, because I have Sister Clara in there.
Oh, okay, I'm going down.
Okay.
It's Sister Clara and Sister Lucretia.
Right.
Okay. Uh-oh, I went too far. Hold up. Okay, the discussion of the meeting, the microgreen. Sunday farmer's market was good. Wednesday's market was a little slow. Next meeting, Brother Miles will have an update on the grammar and housing sites for the land. Brother Miles is looking into a clearinghouse CDFA for a commercial loan for a nonprofit organization. Brother Miles and his brother-in-law, they are moving forward on the development of the land. Our bylaws. Section 11.11, A to C. No contract, no access. section 11.11A1 and 3 and 4. Changes was made. We voted on this. All agreed. Section 11.11A, paragraph 2, has to be reviewed. Section 11.11B was rewrote, adopted as written.
Reworked.
Okay, reworked. Section 11.11C, changes were made. We voted. All agreed. Section 11.12 will be reviewed at the next meeting.
All right. And does anybody have anything to add to this?
No.
Okay. All right. Nobody has anything to add. Then I make a motion that we adopt these minutes as written and read.
I second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are adopted as read and will be made part of the official documentation for the corporation. Okay. New business or updates to old business. I have not had a chance to get with my brother-in-law this week yet. Maybe tomorrow I will go by there and we will talk, see what's going on. I told everybody I put in for the EBT program to be able to accept EBT, and that came back approved. Then I started looking at companies that process EBT transactions, because you can't just process them on a normal credit card terminal. They do have, apps that you can load on your phone or on a tablet, but those are through companies, and so I think the state goes through these same companies. But anyway, let's see here. Just a second. Too many things open. Let me open up this email. I went into, there was a document that the USDA sent me saying who the contacts were in Arizona. And I called the number, and the number is like an unattended number. So I sent an email to the email that they had in the document, and they replied. They did reply that way. It took them a couple of days to get back to me. But I just have to fill out this form. Let me see if I can. I'm going to share my screen. Okay. Yeah, a second to bring up the right email. And I just happened to just go in here and check. Maybe it's the other email. All right, you should be able to see my screen now.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody else able to see it?
I can.
Okay. Because we received your inquiry about the above subject, and the answer is yes. State will provide you state-funded wireless POS device for redeeming SNAP, formerly food stamp, benefit transactions at your market. In order to start the process of receiving that device, please complete the attached document and return it to us at your earliest convenience. So I just saw this right before, you know, the meeting start time. And so basically, it's a very simple document. You know, I just have to put the name of the farm down, and then I sign it and put the FNS number for the farm down, the address, which is my home address, and then my phone number and email, and then I will scan this and email it back to them, and they will start the process. So they say, you know, I request under wireless EBT point-of-sale device, POS terminal, POS device is used to complete sales with supplemental nutrition assistance program customers during the agreed period. The current agreement period for the grant-funded program will end on June 30th, 2023, end of the state fiscal year. The state-provided POS wireless EBT device will only be able to accept SNAP cards. And so that's fine for processing other credit cards and stuff like that. I actually use Square. And so, and then on, you know, the website to receive donations and things like that, I use PayPal. None of them do everything. Okay, so the state has limited funding that requests to process on a first-come basis. To be considered for this program, you must agree to the following. Use the equipment within 1 year of receiving it. I think I'm going to be using it as soon as I get it. I know at least two or three vendors who are at the farmers market who they said that they are on EBT, and so they'll be signing up because they want, you know, they want to do the microgreens, and they can use the microgreens. They can use the card to do it. So we'll be making sales right away, and then they can also do subscriptions. I know one of the young ladies out there, she sells jewelry, and she said she would be doing a subscription. So this is a good thing, and we will start looking for other places to set up. But I'll go ahead and read this, and I'll show the banner that I have should be coming any day. All right, so you must agree to within 1 year of receiving it by using means a successful sale and debit to a customer's EBT account with the provided equipment. Failure to use the equipment within the agreed time frame may be caused for the USDA Food and Nutrition Service to deactivate the equipment and require that it be returned to the State of Arizona DES EBT office or state equipment provider, FIS, Fidelity Information Services. The state agency may choose to charge retailers a reasonable fee in the following circumstances: the cost for the replacement of lost, stolen, or damaged equipment, the cost of materials and supplies for the POS terminal not provided by the state. I don't know what that is. Please return this letter of intent to the State of Arizona DES EBT office. Once received, DES EBT office will forward to FIS to create a merchant services agreement with your organization. FIS will then obtain final approval from the state for your organization to be part of the wireless program before executing the merchant agreement. By signaling your intent, your organization agrees to the terms above to request participation in the grant-funded program. If you don't currently have an FNS number, please follow these instructions. I've already got the FNS number, so we're already approved by, you know, all of this stuff in here, some of this stuff where he's saying if you don't have the FNS number, I guess some people come to them first, but everything I learned in the program said you had to go to the USDA first. So I did that, and so we got everything that we need. I just need to fill out this letter and get it back to them, and they'll start that process. Then once we're approved, a second here. I'll start resharing again in a minute. Let me just search for this. Oh, probably in a different account. One. Oh, that's not the one. Okay, this is the one. All right, I'm going to start sharing my screen again. Should be able to pull it up.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the last banner that I'm going to be buying for a while. This one has, it's identifying the business as being veteran-owned. And then at the bottom, since they had already approved us for SNAP and EBT, I went ahead and had that put on this particular banner rather than ordering a separate banner that says that. So this will be, these banners, they hang, or, yeah, they hang above the tent where people can see them. And so this one, being, you know, the community that I'm in, there's a lot of retired military in that community. The reason why I'm stressing that in that point, there's a lot of retired military here in this, in the valley. But they are a lot of them will do business strictly because, you know, strictly because you are retired military.
Uh-huh.
And then some of them just like, you know, some of the older people just like doing this retired military, you know, because they wanted to go in, but they couldn't go in or whatever. So I'm adding that to this banner. So it'll hang, you know, it'll look just like that. I wish I could make this smaller. Maybe I can. No, I'm going to have to download it. See it better on the side here? The whole banner? Or can you guys see that?
No. Pretty much left the same.
Huh?
Just turn it around?
No, I just, it's just a smaller version so you can see the whole thing at once.
Oh, okay.
Matter of fact, maybe I can do this.
I think it's kind of cool how you have the flag and then like a shield or something. It's kind of cool.
Oh, the shield here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually copied that from one of the guys that were out there. He does, he's a veteran. I think he did like, I think he did like 7 months or something like that, but he could claim veteran status. So he named his company Patriot Printing. And this was part of his logo. Well, he had it on his thing, and I told him, I said, hey, I was going to let him do the work, but he was acting kind of funny,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, like it wasn't a priority for him. I, like, you know, I told you I needed it like 2 weeks ago, and he said, well, you know, I'm having a problem getting the art, that kind of stuff. I said, well, I'll scan your paper, and I'll just recreate it, and but it didn't come out as good. And then I found out he just actually used this from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I found, you know, this deal with the veterans owned, found that out on the internet. It was a free download. So I just downloaded it and put it on a banner and then, you know, submitted it. And it should be here within I think it's supposed to be here by the 20th. So it was a good thing that, you know, they were saying that the original artwork wasn't clear enough. I mean, they would have used it if I said that, told them to go ahead. But I went looking. I tried to improve the graphics, and then at the same time, they were waiting for an approval. So I just went ahead and had them to add the SNAP/EBT authorized to the bottom of it. Because, you know, the way the SNAP works, if you don't have raw food, raw materials, like a farmer,
uh-huh.
that
mm-hmm.
then they can't take SNAP. So if, let's say if I made hamburgers or something and I cooked them, I couldn't take SNAP to sell them. They can't buy prepared food.
Right.
So to let, you know, so that they, the people who are out there, because I'm sure there's probably, we got a lot of senior citizens that come to these markets, and I'm sure that some of them are on EBT.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't let it be known. But this will allow them to know that I'm able to accept it and maybe get their business. And then we will be looking at, you know, going to different neighborhoods, different parts of town to set up on different days as well. So this flag will go above the tent just like the microgreens flag. And so it's that, you know, the flag is up high enough that, you know, I've had people say, yeah, I can see your flag from over here. So it makes, you know, I know that we're noticed. And then I know that they will notice this because this one is actually an even bigger flag. No, I think it's the same size, 6x2. So this is going to help. And so we get the application in. The state sends us the equipment. And then if I don't want to stay on, you know, with the, then there are other companies that I've already looked at. They will do like a one-year grant where they will pay for the equipment 1 year, and then after that year, they start charging you. So, you know, they give you 1 year to get established, and then after that year, they start charging you, you know, per transaction and a monthly fee. Well, with the state, I don't get charged a per transaction or a monthly fee. The state takes care of that. So,
so the other grants, do they have a BEC? Oh, BEC. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm a EBT card.
Do the other, wait a minute, ask that question again.
Do the other grants have a EBT card?
They're, yeah, they are the companies. See, the state doesn't run the program. They farm it out to other companies.
Uh-huh.
And these other companies, they're in the business of making money. So, they, you know, they try to charge you like a regular credit card. If you're a merchant, you have to pay, you know, fees to take credit cards.
Uh-huh.
And so it could be a certain percentage of the amount of the transaction, like 2%.
Okay.
And then plus a monthly fee, you know, for the equipment rental. So the one that the USDA pointed me to, they have a one-year grant program. And at the end of the 1 year, then they start charging you, you know, the fees and stuff.
Okay.
But I knew I had read when I first started looking into this, I knew I had read that the state of Arizona got money from the federal government.
Uh-huh.
To pay for this stuff. So when I started, you know, after I got approved and stuff and I started looking, then sometimes you find something and it, like it just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't, yeah, you read that, but now where did you read it? And like somebody took it down or something because you got approved.
Uh-huh.
It was just crazy thoughts going through my mind. But I said, you know, I remember seeing something that the state of Arizona received money for this. So, I went into the document that they sent, read through it, and then they gave a contact and a phone number, called the phone number. The phone number is like, hey, we don't answer this line. So I'm like, then why do you have it on this, you know, why do you have it up here? Because you can't even leave a message. And then they had the email. So I just emailed the guy and said, hey, does the state of Arizona still provide this funding? And if so, how do I apply? And that's what that reply to that email was. Yeah, we still do it, and fill out this form and send it in. So I will definitely get this done. You know, it's only 5 or 6 lines. I will get it done tonight and hand it into the computer and email it back to him rather than putting it in the mail. And I'm hoping that, you know, to get set up is not a, I hope it's a quick process. you know, less than a week. So I really hope by next Friday to have the ability to process EBT transactions inside, you know, the booth. And be able to do that. And, like, again, so second part of this update, on the site, so this is a website, and I'm constantly trying to upgrade it as I add things. So we're going to start offering microgreen powders. And these are dehydrated microgreens. Because when we go to the market, anything that I don't sell that day, I either have to eat it or throw it away. So, you know, it'll stay in the refrigerator for a little bit. But the shelf life on fresh, you know, any type of fresh produce is not that long. And if you put it in the crisper in your refrigerator, you might get it to last 7 or 8 days. That was a problem for me, and I was saying, okay, how do I keep track of this? If I have to keep track of it so that I can write it off, you know, in the business, because it's waste, it's a loss. We grew it, went to sell it, couldn't sell it. So part of the business, I can say, okay, I'm charging X amount for this, so this is X amount of what, a loss? And I can write it off on the tax. I didn't want to do that for the simple fact that I didn't like the waste, okay? And so I found out I had bought the dehydrator way back, and I was, you know, this has always been a potential plan, but I hadn't done all the research yet because, you know, I was going to dehydrate some other things too for my own self. I had the dehydrator. We had a little small grinder. And when I say small, I mean small. It's like the size of a cereal bowl, a small cereal bowl. And I'm like, you know, if I try to use this, I'm going to be at this all day. So I said that was not going to do it. Let's see where I'm at here. Okay. So I ordered this one from Amazon and got it in. Can you guys see this screen?
No.
What screen are you seeing?
The flag still up.
Okay, I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to reshare then. And pick this screen. All right, bring back up screen sharing.
Can't now.
No, I can't.
Okay, so I ordered this one. This is like a commercial grade grinder,
mm-hmm.
Grain mill grinder. And so it costs about $150. And you probably won't be able to hear this video because that seemed to be the way it works while I was explaining what they're doing. In this video, they're saying that when you first get it, sometimes it may not work because there's some brushes on the inside that may come loose. They're just showing you how to fix it when you first get it. When I got mine and tried it, it worked, so I didn't actually have to do this. But they're just saying, you know, if it doesn't, then you would fix it. This thing is so powerful, it'll even grind up glass and turn it into a powder.
Mm. That is powerful.
Yeah, it's. I had to stop off when I turned it on. I'm like, "What's the matter? If somebody sticks their hand in here, they just won't have a hand. It's worse than your garbage disposal. You stick your hand in there, if it's there more than a second, I mean, when it starts to get hit, whatever it is coming off. Now, you guys able to hear that?
No.
Okay. Well, it's just music anyway. So they're just going to show, you know, it's heavy duty.
How to use it.
Yeah, it's heavy duty, and it is, it's powerful. I didn't want to keep throwing away stuff
right.
That didn't sell. And so now what it allows me to do is to go back sort of back toward a normal growing process, plus growing some so that I can create an inventory of these powdered microgreens. Now the microgreens, when they are dehydrated and turned into this powder, they will last up to 6 months.
Non-refrigerated.
So you can keep them in a cool, you know, like your cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And they'll last up to 6 months. Still got the same nutritious value.
Right.
Okay, so you just, you know, put it in a smoothie, or if you cook a dish, you sprinkle it into the dish.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, you take a teaspoon and put it in a smoothie and drink it, okay? But the pros of it is that it lasts up to 6 months. You get the same nutritious value. It's just not as, what, visually appealing as the powder. But most people are looking for the longevity, and a lot of people don't understand, you know, how to consume them fresh anyway. And so if you just show them how to do a, if you just show them how to do the powder, and because it has a longer lifespan, then I truly believe that we're going to start to sell more of the powder than we actually do the live green. And that's okay. And the and what I found is when I talked to the lady from the USDA, people who are on EBT also qualify. They can buy this, buy the powder, even though it's been dehydrated. So that was a plus.
You talking? I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Oh,
no,
wait a minute.
Can you hear me?
Microgreens, they have a shelf life up to 6 months. They maintain their nutritious, you know, their nutrient density. When you dehydrate, it doesn't, it you lose a little bit of vitamin C and vitamin A, but it still is way still more dense than, you know, the normal grown plant. And people who are on the EBT card can buy these, the powders. So I got that approved by the USDA because I said, hey, you know, I have a lot of wasted greens. And they said, and I said, you know, I want to dehydrate them and sell them, dehydrate and grind them and sell them. I said, you know, still maintains the nutrient dense. It's still just as nutritious for them, and it has a longer shelf life. They said, yeah, we'll approve that. So, you know, then so I project that people at the farmer's market are going to eventually buy more of these powders than they are the actual raw microgreens.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has a longer shelf life.
Right.
And that will present its own type of problem. Then you're still going to have people who want them raw, and it's all good. So I was able to, you know, re-up, you know, increase back the numbers I was growing, number of trays, so that I can create a inventory of the powders. So I think for the USDA, I have to always have at least three in stock. In case somebody orders, you know, with the EBT card, then I can't be saying, well, you got to wait 14 days for these powders.
Right.
Now, I can say they have to wait 14 days for the raw plant.
Uh-huh.
So I can pre-approve them no longer than 14 days for the raw plant, okay? And by the 14th day, I have to deliver it to them.
Okay.
So that's the good parts of this. I already started growing to start creating the inventory. And then, you know, and I have the stuff that I'm growing, you know, to take to the market. We've been increasing sales at the market. It fluctuated a little the past week or the last Sunday, but last Friday was actually a decent day. Tomorrow is supposed to be windy again. We'll see how, you know, if people stay away, because when it gets windy and it's cold, people don't want to come out. So we are in the 50s, and then it's supposed to be like 14 to, well, in the early in the morning, it'll be like in the high 40s. Hopefully it won't be that much wind. But then as the day goes on, the wind is supposed to pick back up. And so it'll be colder than, you know, the actual temperature.
Did it snow in Arizona?
It snows, where, it snows where we're moving to.
Oh, okay.
You get maybe a month of, I think the maximum snow they get is like 4 inches. It might last a month and a half, if that long, on and off. The winter is really only about 2 months up there. Then you go back into the spring and, you know, the summer. You just don't get, you know, you get snow, but you don't get any extreme. So it won't get below zero. I think the coldest that the average winter temperature is in the coldest month of December is like the lowest it gets is like 19 degrees.
Oh, okay.
That's
cold enough.
Yeah, it's cold enough, especially when you're not used to it or don't want to deal with it. But it will only be, you know, it's only like a month, and then it warms back up. So nothing like, you know, Minnesota or even anything anywhere close to that. Okay. But then when you come to the valley, I think we've seen snow flurries. I've only seen snow flurries once in 30 years. That was flurry, nothing that stuck to the ground. Okay, so what else? In that, on this regard, I think that's it for right now. We got the dehydration. So on the website, I've added this information to the website. Did your screen switch to the website when I just clicked on the website?
No.
same screen coming away.
It's not even sharing any longer.
Oh, did I stop sharing?
Yeah.
Oh, I went out and came back in and never shared, huh? Y'all got to tell me. Sharing again? You should have the website.
Yeah.
Okay. So I added the microgreen powders here, preserving microgreens, what works and what doesn't. And then on this one, this was, I had to put on the site for the USDA, our actual process of growing microgreens and sprouts. How we do it here, and you know, and then how we convert the wasted sprouts and microgreens to how we dehydrate them and make them powders for them to approve that. So that's on the page here, and that whole process. As far as the product, it's not on. I haven't created a product yet because I'm waiting for the labels. I think they're supposed to be here. The jars, not the labels, but the jars. Are you guys able to see that, my screen still?
Yeah.
Okay, and the Amazon page. Is it the Amazon page or is it the some other page?
It's some other page.
Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing and start again. I don't know why when I'm switching pages on the same screen that it's doing that, but pause sharing. Start sharing. Sharing again.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so you should see the order page.
Right.
Okay. So I also bought another dehydrator. I already had one, but I wanted a bigger one. The one I have has 8 trays in it, and I think the circumference is only like 9 inches or something like that around. It's working for right now, but I ordered this one, which is a bigger one, more industrial. Bigger tray. And this is so this is the size inside of this window right here. See where it says 11 by 11?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the size of most of your home dehydrators. And this one is 15 by 15 inches.
Uh-huh.
So more space, more racks. So that once I start putting these greens in here and growing specifically for doing the powders, the microgreen powder, then, I don't want to hinder it. So I just bought a bigger dehydrator and this one also is industrial strength. It's like the grinder.
Right.
So, that, you know, they have these up to like $2,000. I'm like, nope, I'm not going that high. Ain't that big yet. But this one, you know, will allow me to, I want to be able to create, starting off, I want to be able to create at least 12 bottles. And so I have to grow the microgreens for it. You know, then dehydrate them and then pulverize them, make the powder. And so I also, to get started, now these sheets here, these are non-stick silicone sheets. Okay. So you put the, because if you just put the microgreens on the raw, on the metal, they'll stick to it.
Yeah.
So these sheets right here, this is the shape, the top one right here is the shape of the smaller dehydrator that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't come with these sheets, and I did some dehydrating in it. They didn't really stick to them in there, but the holes, excuse me, the holes inside the trays were large for sprouts, and so the sprouts would fall through them. I looked, and you buy these sheets, and they last forever. You don't have to keep buying them. And they got small holes in them, so you can put sprouts or you can put, the microgreens on it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stick and they don't fall through. And so I need it, since I had this one at top, this is the one that I had already, and I had to buy the ones that fit into the larger one.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, bought them at the same time so that when the larger one comes in, then I already have it and be ready to go.
All right.
And then these are both, I ordered these jars, because this is where we're going to put the microgreen in.
Okay.
And so only thing that I have left to do, I haven't created the labels yet. These come with some predefined labels, but, this is for your house.
Right.
And not for, a product.
Uh-huh.
So I am still looking at what other companies that are doing, what they put on their labels. Because if they got to do something by law, they're going to put it on there.
Uh-huh.
And then, then I will decide and create a label that will stick on the jar.
Uh-huh.
As part of the marketing and that kind of stuff. That's the only thing I have left to do. These jars are supposed to be in here when, I think they're supposed to be here by Saturday. Okay, so I think this comes with 66 jars. I ordered two of them, so I should be getting about 120 jars.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to create about 30 of the wellness mix. And label it and, then put it on the website and have it where people can just buy it just that way, or they can take out the subscription for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so then it's a regular schedule. So this will be, when I create the labels, then I'll share that with you guys so that you can see it. But these are the jars we're going to use. These are 4-ounce jars, and instead of having like chili powder on it, it will have an actual label. Like, let me see. Some people call it like super green powder. So you see how these are branded.
Mm-hmm.
Ours will just be in a clear jar, but I'm sure they have some in here. But you see the price that they're charging for this?
Mm-hmm.
Like $100, $31. I think the ones that we're doing, they will sell for, depending upon what the microgreen is, probably will be $30 for 4 ounces. And like I said, people will buy it because they last longer.
Right.
And it's concentrated. So, like, they put this, green powder in this liquid. They just call it, green juice.
Mm-hmm.
And people make a drink out of coconut water and lemon and then add this powder to it. And so they're getting all their nutrients that way. So we will be, I'll come up with a name for them. We need to come up with a name for the product. wellness mix or whatever. Let me do something here. So here's one that will probably be similar, looking to the way ours is. So you see this one over here?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll put a label similar to this on it. You know, as branding, and, you know, put the information on the label.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So it'll look like this. We may change it up later and go with a, you know, a different style or whatever, but right now, that's what I've decided to use. Okay. So that's where we're at with the business as far as the microgreens. Like I said, I'm really going to start trying to increase market sales. The people who have bought them have been very happy with them. The people who are on subscription are happy with them. I was, you know, I was looking into the orders this morning, and it showed an order canceled. So, you know, I wanted to find out why they canceled. And they hadn't canceled. It was something that happened in my system. They're like, oh, no, we didn't cancel. We like those greens. They're the best we've ever had. I was like, okay, I'll just call to make sure. And I think one other thing that we're probably going to start doing as a product, I haven't been growing any herbs, and I'm going to look and see, like, you know, what are the top 4 or 5 herbs that people buy, whether it's cilantro, and then I think the bowls that I saw, they may be like a foot around, and they're kind of shallow. I think they cost like $2. And what you do is put 5 herbs in them. So you grow them like the microgreens and then transplant them to the soil.
Mm.
And then sell that bowl, $2 and maybe $1 worth of seed. Grown, they're still babies. You sell it that way for like $25 a bowl. And the benefit of it is that they're going to be growing their own herbs.
Right.
And so, you know, they can pinch off of that, do whatever they want. But a lot of people buy them, according to my research. So I said, you know, I think I paid like $2,000, almost $3,000 for my wife to take a course on herbs, and that she hadn't used it yet. So I said, okay, then this is what I want you to do. And I'll create those bowls and, you know, just take them to the farmer's market as a third product. So we have the raw microgreens, we will have the dehydrated microgreens, and then we will have the herb bowls. And that's going to be it for now. I don't think I can. Oh, I know what I was going to do. One other thing that I'm going to do. I've been getting up at, you know, at like 4 a.m. in the morning and harvesting before I go to the market.
Mm-hmm.
and packaging and stuff like that. I think I'm going to try a couple of markets. I'm going to actually harvest at the market. So I'll take the trays, you know, that I'm going to sell. I will take them to the market with me. I will put them out on the tables when people, you know, come by. And I usually ask them, hey, are you familiar with microgreens? Do you know their health benefits and things like that? That's how I get their attention. But this will be more so because I don't really like to cut microgreens out in the sun, because that's a problem.
Does it dry out?
Yeah, they're not only dry
out.
They'll turn mushy and everything else. That clamshell, they'll start to sweat and it'll start to cook them, especially if it's real hot.
All right.
So you don't want to put them in the sun. And so I've been, you know, rearranging my booth so that the tables are in the back of the booth away from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I was going to talk to the owner of the market and say, hey, I need you to put me on, like, the east side of the market facing west this time of the year because the sun is at your back. If you're on the west side of the market, Elaine, then the sun is coming right in your booth.
Oh, okay.
And so, and that's where he had been setting me, and I was like, you know, I got to figure out something that I can display my product. So I put the tables in the far back of the booth, and I have a 14-inch TV that plays videos, like, you know, the benefits of microgreens and that kind of stuff, so I don't have to be talking all the time. But when people walk by and are interested, then, you know, I sort of just take over and sell the product, get them to listen and sell it to them. What will happen is when I have the live plants out, then it doesn't matter if they're in the sun because they will still be in the trays and they'll still be have access to water.
Okay.
So it'll be like they're growing outside, you know, they'll just continue to grow.
Right.
So
they probably grow better too because they're outside in the sun.
Right. And you know, but what I'm using it for, because when I harvest it, then I don't cut. I just pull them straight up out of the, you know, out of the tray because there's no dirt and they're in a stream.
Right.
And I just cut the roots off so I can actually say, you know, I'll harvest right there. They come up and make an order. I will harvest it right there in front of them. Sort of creates a novelty. So I said, you can't get no fresher than this.
Right.
You know, and I just have to make sure that that I'm quick about it so that I don't get a big line where people, you know, that won't be a bad thing either if there's a big line and people are waiting. Because if they want them bad enough, they're going to wait. But, you know, you don't want to lose people that way either.
Right.
So, but to get people to the booth and, you know, the novelty of it, them seeing that my microgreens were what, just harvested, for real, even though I just harvested them maybe a couple hours before to get them there, when I prepackaged them, they'll be able to be harvested right there. So, that's something that I'm going to try to increase traffic, increase people stopping by, and increase sales. I really want to get this up to 1,000 a week, and then grow it even from there. As I start going to more markets, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 a week. I just have to make sure that I'm also growing at that what speed.
Right.
And that can be an issue. I foresee that I will have to, if I don't get my family to do it, then I'll have to hire people and I'll pay them out of, you know, I will probably just put them on commission. Because when people don't have an incentive to sell, if you pay them by the hour, they'll sit there. Because they know that they're going to get paid whatever because they're sitting there. So what I'll do is hire them on commission and say, okay, you get whatever 7 or 10% of whatever you sell. And so that gives them the incentive to actually sell. Rather than just sit there. I learned that a long time ago when I set up, you know, doing tax returns with this accountant, and we weren't getting very many tax returns done, and then we realized people weren't actually, you know, they weren't going after the customers trying to get them, you know, they were in a check cashing place, and people would come there to cash their checks, and when it's tax season, people need their taxes done too. And so the second year, we didn't make that mistake. We only hired people, and we hired them to do it by pay them per return rather than, you know, by the hour. because that's just human nature. You pay me about an hour, I don't care if you make sales or not. I'm getting paid. And so to eliminate that and make sure that people were actually doing the work and their incentive to be paid is that they had to approach people. They had to talk to people. They had to try to get people to, what, let them do their taxes. And this way, if I do it on commission this way, then they have to approach people and try to get them to, what, buy microgreens? Anyway, just how it works. Or else it'll just be money coming out of my pocket. All right, so any questions on this part?
No, I don't have any.
No one else? Okay.
Done.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Let me bring up the document that we've been working out of. You put on my box. Focus now. Okay. Maybe I can turn that into a Word document, just fill it out that way rather than write. Let me minimize that. And Farm Business Meeting 29. Okay. I think I just clicked and closed. And you guys are still able to see my screen, correct?
Yes. Google's still up there.
Okay. I will stop sharing and restart sharing as soon as I find the document we're supposed to be in. Bylaws. Business meeting, and I'm looking for the bylaws. Okay. All right, I'm going to stop sharing and then restart it. It seems like when I'm changing between documents, it is not bringing it up on your screen to change. I'm going to pause. And okay. All right. So if we bring back up screen sharing on your screen, then you should be able to see the document.
Yep.
Okay. You change this view to one page. And we're in section 11 today, Sister Mary? Or 11-12?
11.12.
Okay. Good grief. All right. Section 11.12, standard term, academic term, and short-term membership contract. That's what you guys are seeing on your screen?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're going to start reading this and dissecting it. There are three kinds of membership contracts as defined by their end date: standard, academic term, and short term. Standard academic standard contracts shall end August 14th. Academic term contracts shall end 31st. Short term contracts may end any date. All standard academic term membership contracts established before the next contract year shall start 15th of August of the membership contract. I don't think we need any of this. Start dates of membership contracts established during the current contract year will necessarily vary. Each membership contract shall fall within a single membership contract year. No membership contract may be more than 1 year in duration. No membership contract may be established before January 1st membership contract year prior to the membership contract year in question. I don't think we need three types of membership contract. We just need a membership contract. So, and it's going to be the standard term, because the only thing that's different is going to be what, your anniversary day?
Right.
So I don't think we need A, B, C, D, E, F, we don't need A through F right now. Within the parameters of this policy, YFCC cooperative pods are allowed to establish pod-level policies that determine the number of standard term, academic, and short-term membership contracts that may be approved for each membership contract year. Scratch that. In the absence of any relevant pod-level policy addressing the matter, it's understood by default that all of a given cooperative pod membership contracts will be standard term contracts. I agree with that. If provided for in pod level policy, there is no maximum number of academic term membership contracts a cooperative pod may allow. Scratch that. The maximum number of current short-term contracts a given cooperative pod may allow is provided for in pod level policy is equal to the whole number reached by rounding up 10% of the cooperative pod occupancy value, as defined by the occupancy formula, with a minimum result being 2. All right, so all of our contracts, we don't do short-term contracts. They're all standard contracts, and they have an automatic an automatic renewal unless there's a reason what not to renew it.
Right.
So, what are you guys' thoughts on this?
Yeah. Well, like you said, we didn't need no them other contractors. We just got one contract.
Okay.
Like, suppose we need a short-term contract and we're trying to build all of us together, you know what I'm saying?
Right. We're that's just not part of our model. Our model is you're coming in, you are becoming a member of the community, or are a member of the community, and you have agreed to all the terms of the community, and the contract is really perpetual, but we'll review it. We have a place where if something is not working out for whatever the reason, then we have a renewal that can be perpetual, or we can say, you know, this person really is not trying to get along with everybody.
Right.
Is not trying to, you know, participate and meet the standards of the community.
Right.
They're not really breaking in anything, but they are more destructive in relationship than they are helpful.
Right.
It's just a negative experience.
Because they're not doing what we are doing for the community.
Right. And we have a way of terminating and letting them know that, you know, we're terminating the contract. But it's virtually, you know, perpetual. It just automatically renews the next year unless there's a reason not to renew it. So we don't have an academic contract and we don't have a short-term contract because we really don't want people, well, we're not even designed, nor was it the purpose of the community, to have people at moving in and out.
Right.
And using it like an apartment complex.
Right.
Yeah, that's not what we're about. So this is term. It is community. It is designed to be where we are all living by the same standards, you know, the commandments of the Most High, and so forth and so on. So we're not set up this way, and so we won't be doing this. Don't have a need to do it.
So all of these are going to be deleted except for 8?
Right now.
Okay.
Let's have Sister Lorraine ring in. Because she's way too quiet.
I don't think you need those three different types of contracts. So the short-term contract, what's the purpose of that? I mean, I know you're saying we're not needing that. But if that, whenever someone comes in a different month, is that when their contract starts? Like if they come in April,
right.
It goes to April next year, and if someone comes in a different month, it goes to, you don't need short-term contracts if you're doing it that way, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. And Sister Clara, if you will unmute yourself, what are your thoughts on this, if you have any? I see that you're still there, but I can't unmute you. I think you're muted on your end. And if you're unable to unmute yourself, then you probably have to go out and come back in or call, you know, hang up and call back. I don't really have the ability to unmute you when you're muted on your end. Okay, so she can unmute herself. If she left, she'll call right back in. So we will, H is what we're talking about keeping right now, the standard contract. Let's read I and I and J, and when she comes back, then I'll just sort of reiterate that. I, if a provider for a pod level policy, if provided for in a pod level policy, there is no maximum number of academic terms. Scratching that, because we're not doing academic, you know, this is like for somebody going to school. That's why I see an academic. They're in school, and so we're going to give them lower rent or whatever, or take into account that they're in school. No, that's not our policy. The maximum number of current term contracts a given cooperative pod may allow, if provided for by the pod level policy, is equal to the whole number. They got a formula here, We're not doing that, so I and Jay are out. So right now, we can get rid of everything but H.
Okay.
And I'm going to let this sister call back in before we move on. We'll renumber H to, it'll just be a paragraph. Now, unless we add another paragraph, we won't need an A if we don't have a B. So let's see if she can get back in. Back there she is.
Is now in the conference.
Hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you
now.
Yeah,
we can hear you now.
Okay, I don't have any thoughts at this time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, all right.
So
go ahead and mute yourself. Well, I will mute you.
I will
leave your phone off
mute. Phone off mute.
Okay.
And I'll mute you from
and
this end.
From
that
this
way,
end. That
I can
way
turn
I
you
can
back
turn
up.
You back up.
When you're asked a question, I think there is a problem with you trying to
unmute yourself.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to turn your volume
down
so we don't get the echo. All right. All right, so we're going to get rid of, and anybody let me know if we have a problem. We're going to get rid of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We're going to let people establish, you know, people, we're not going to, unless we become too full and we don't, you know, we get to the point where we have a waiting list or something like that, then I can see maybe saying, you know, we only open up membership at this time of the year. I don't really see that. I see that if we become too full, then we'll be looking at opening up another community if people want to come, or adding what more housing. But I don't see this being, you know, we're only going to let people join in January. All right, so we're going to eliminate A through G right here. We won't, I think we're eliminating I and J as well.
Yeah.
So we don't really need a. We're going to eliminate that. This just becomes a paragraph within this, within here, because we only got one paragraph. So if you only got one paragraph, you don't need an A. Because you only use A if you had a B. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And this right here, it be an A, B. Yeah.
So it just be 11.12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we deleted everything but the, eliminate everything but the, that one paragraph. So in the absence of any relevant pot level policies addressing the matter, it is understood by default that all given cooperative pot membership contracts will be standard contracts. We're going to eliminate this. That only applies. All all cooperative pod membership contracts will be standard term contracts. That's all it's going to say.
Okay.
So the rest of that stuff was just, it was because of the other stipulations they had in there. It was worded that way. We don't need that. So we're only doing one, and so yeah, so I'm going to leave the title 11-12 standard term, academic term, and short term membership contract. I'm going to leave it that way so that we know that we only chose to do what standard. And in the future, should they want any, you know, because it's a policy, if they want to go back to, you know, an academic term or anything like that, because it's a policy, they have the option to change that, but we're definitely not starting that way. And you guys got too quiet. Oh, can I be heard? Oh, I'm not being heard.
Yes, you can be heard.
Okay. Any question, comment, complaint?
So section 11.12 should be only standard contract, not the...
No, we're going to leave the heading the same.
Pardon?
We're going to leave the heading the same. We're not going to change the heading.
Okay.
But we delete everything but that one sentence?
Fine.
Okay, and I want to leave the heading the same for the simple reason that in the future, or should the need arise, then we'll know that it was other types of what terms that were available.
Uh-huh.
And, again, this is policy. And so policy is dictated by, according to the bylaws, except for where we restrict it, is dictated by membership and the board. So if they have a need to change it, they can change it. They just can't change the basic tenets of the bylaws what the organization is based upon. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know that. Who was that? Yes, that was Sister Denise.
The what?
Okay. So, Sister Mary, you too quiet?
Sister
Lorraine?
Yes, it was Sister Mary.
Okay. All right. Y'all got to participate now. I know y'all sleepy, some of y'all.
I felt that.
You felt that?
I did.
Sister Denise, run down there real quick and pinch her, okay? Keep her awake.
All right. I wish you could.
I bet. Pet contract. Let's read this. I don't see any hindrance with people having pets. Again, as long as they're not allowing their pet to what? Tear up the place or defecate all over the place and they don't clean it up, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Then that's a problem. But as far as having a dog or a cat or anything like that, or whatever type of pet they want, as long as they're maintaining it and that kind of stuff, I don't have an issue. But it's not just me. So... all YFCC membership contracts are to include an additional pet contract page effective immediately. So this had to be something that they added in. Any YFCC member who assumes ownership of an uncaged pet or pets currently living in the YFCC properties will be required to file the previously mentioned pet contract page within 1 month time of the policy being enacted. Pet contracts include all uncaged pets, dogs, cats, etc. Information required, pet's name, medical records, known behavioral issues, documented or undocumented. So we'll have to find where that section is for the pet contract. And I don't think a pet contract is a bad thing. It let us know, you know, that there people are wanting what, a pet, or going to have one.
Right.
Because there are wild animals out there where we're at. I know that I'm going to have about 6 dogs that are going to belong just to the community to keep wild animals away.
Right.
Okay. So I don't have an issue because I know people want some horses and things like that. And we have enough land to do that type of stuff on.
Uh-huh.
So as I said, I'm not against it. I think, you know, children should be exposed to those types of things, pets and, you know, animals and stuff like that. But I think that it's a good thing to have a pet contract, sort of that when somebody brings a pet in, then they're more or less just registering their pet. We know who the pet is. We know that they have gotten the what required shots for the pet.
Right.
Especially if they're dogs or cats, there are diseases that they can get from what wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
That because a wild animal ain't vaccinated. As long as we don't give them a COVID shot, we're not gonna give any pets no COVID shot. Okay. And then we do have to stipulate, because somebody bringing in a pet that is uncontrollable,
right?
Vicious. You know, when I say by uncontrollable, I mean it more so vicious. If, you know, somebody dog jumps up on me, I don't have, you know, me myself, I don't have a problem with that. I just pet them and keep moving. Some people that are afraid of animals.
Yeah.
And
I'm
so
one of them.
You're one of them?
Yeah.
We're going to get you a little bitty dog then.
Thank you.
So that you can get used to pets. And then graduate to a bigger dog. I think that, I don't know if you had a bad experience with, you know, animals in the past.
I got bit by a dog before.
You got bit?
Yeah.
Okay, was it a big dog?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's understandable. But you know that being around animals, if you have a fear, they can sense that?
Yeah, they can.
And so you're going to have to learn, especially being out there in the wild like that, because wild animals can sense it too. Okay, so you're going to, that's one of the things that you're going to have to what, try to get over. So that you don't bring undue attention on yourself because you're afraid.
Okay.
I know you used to carry an AR-15 and... Anything come near you, it's just dead. But you just can't be doing that to people's pets. So we want to make sure that, you know, and I think that it will be good for you to have a, you know, a pet. Get your, because my wife was afraid of, she was afraid of animals. Same reason she got bit. And she was afraid of big dogs. I've always had big dogs, like German Shepherds and...
I always had big dogs, too.
Yeah, Afghans, big dogs. And that was a no-go for her. And so I bought a Shih Tzu, a small dog, got it as a puppy. She started taking care of the dog more than anybody else. Fell in love with the dog. I bought it for the kids, but she fell in love with the dog. And, you know, it changed her whole perspective on it.
So we'll work on
it. Okay. So as soon as you get into your place, there's going to be a dog waiting on you.
Well, don't have me no little poo-poo dog. I want a big...
No, we won't get you a little poo-poo dog, but... Sister Mary afraid of dogs. I don't want to get her a big dog. Maybe I get her a big dog, but it just start off little.
Right, a puppy.
And she able to grow, you know, she able to grow with it.
Right.
Be there as it grows. Then her perspective might be different. We'll see. I think that because dogs bring a lot of benefits, okay. Anybody around, the dog will let you know.
Yeah.
They hear stuff when you don't hear it.
Yeah.
And they usually are naturally protective. So, you know, whoever you say is a friend, people who are around you all the time, then the dog going to accept them as a friend too. But if strangers come around, people who are not part of the community, the dog know that too.
Right.
And so they are just, they have their benefits. But I'm getting them because we are in a wild location. There are wild animals. And if you have a small pet, like if a coyote comes around, a coyote will kill a small dog. Have it for dinner. And some big dogs can't keep up with a coyote. But they usually, if the dog is big enough, then the coyote ain't going to mess around. He's going to leave. And even, you know, if there's mountain lions or anything like that, they're going to leave too. So, we will have big dogs out there for that purpose. And then if you have your own personal dog, then, you know, I would more so want it to be for your own comfort, because they are therapeutic, at least for me they are. And, you know, as your own personal alarm.
Mm-hmm.
If something's around or somebody's around, the dog's going to let you know.
Sure, yeah.
Now, if you got a cat, that's a whole different thing. So on this for the pet, I don't see where we need to change here. Anybody think we need to add or take away anything to Section 1113? I'm going to read it in its entirety, and then let me know if you think there should be any changes. All YFCC membership contracts are to include an additional pet contract page. I'm going to delete this effective immediately because we're just now starting, so just know what? No pre-existing? So we don't need that clause in there. Just that, you know, when we all sign the contract, this clause is going to be there. If you got a pet, then you got to sign the pet contract?
Right.
Okay. Any YFCC member who assumes ownership of an uncaged pet or pet currently living in YFCC properties will be required to file the previously mentioned pet contract page within 1 month time of the policy being enacted. We're going to say within 1 month and take out this, within 1 month's time, take out this of the policy being enacted because it's going to be part of the normal contract. I can tell they added this in as an addendum. It wasn't, you know, they didn't have pet contracts, and then they added this stuff in. And they already had people living there with pets, and so they wanted to make sure that anybody with a pet, signed the contract. Information required, pet's name, medical records, known behavioral issues, documented or undocumented. Anybody think of anything else?
I can't think of anything.
All right.
No, I can't think of enough.
And you said no, Sister Lorraine?
No. I'm in.
Okay, and then so let's unmute Sister Sarah.
She said
okay, Sister Sarah, do you have anything?
I don't know why I keep saying Sister Clara.
That's
okay.
You think of anything that could be added
here or
need to be changed?
Need to be changed?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to make a
motion
that we adopt
Section
11.13 as modified. Do I have a second?
I
second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 11.13 contract. Is adopted as written and modified. All right, Section 11.14,
what time is it?
7:57. Okay,
we're going to pick this up
with Section 11.14. Next week.
And
think we need to speed this up. So starting with section 11.14, I'm going to copy this out of here and email it to everyone. And we need to commit to go through 411.14. Yeah, I want to speed
the process up.
I want to go through
11:20.
If there's 11:20
in here.
19:20. Let's make
commitment. Okay. All right. It's late. Do you need to turn off the TV?
So, you know, we had 11:22 in.
Yeah. Okay. I want us to make a commitment to finish 11:14 through 11:22 or 21. We already did 11:22 because we added it. Yeah, we finished by next week. So I'm going to make a copy of 11:14 through 11:21. Email a separate copy out to everyone that's in attendance today. And I want you to review it and see if you think there should be any changes, or just read it so that we have a familiarity with it before we meet. And then so we can speed this up, because we got a lot to go through, and I really want to finish this and get done with it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to send sections 11:14 through 22 out to everyone in an email. And then you're responsible for reading it and reviewing it on your own. You can just read it, make notes. And then I'm going to do the same thing, and we will, next meeting, we should have a better idea of what each section is and whether we think something is crazy or we don't need it. And we'll modify. We're going to just move along a little bit fast, okay?
Right.
Because We actually need to get back to the minutes for Yah's Global Kingdom as well, and finalize those. But this became a hotter project because with the land, and I really do expect to, I'm concentrating on the business right now, but I expect that. At any time, the other parties can say, hey, the money's available, and you need to, I want to have all this done.
Right.
So that, we're not saying, well, we're still formulating and doing all that kind of stuff. And even if they don't say the money, is there, I want to, if I don't hear by a certain date anyway, I want to start pursuing us going to get the loan ourselves, as we intended to do from the beginning. And so, and again, we need to have what, all this done before then. So matter of fact, just a second here. Make some changes real quick because I see some. Spelling errors that I can get rid of real quick. It's not that bad. Nobody got to be beating their head on the desk.
Huh?
Oh, boy. Oh, I see. Got Podmate and Podmate. What happened to my... Okay, so let me copy this out, 1114. Okay, let me let it convert it. Okay, there's converted. And give me a hot second here. Let me stop sharing. All right, what I want everybody to do is go to their email and see if they can confirm that they got this document. Should it just come in from me? It is, well, you'll know the name. It'll say bylaws or what is that, policy. Yes.
Yeah, I received it.
All right, amen.
Lorraine received it.
Okay, and let me unmute. Clara here. Okay, Sister Clara, can you check your email?
Yes, I received that.
Okay, so we can all review this
prior to the next meeting.
So we can speed this process up. We got a lot to do. All right, amen. Amen. Because, yeah, y'all don't seem like y'all really want to do this.
Amen.
All right. Sister Mary wants must have went to sleep.
No, I'm not sleeping. How are you?
I'm sorry. Your mic got turned down.
Huh.
All right.
I'm not asleep yet.
All right. Well, I'm going to make it where you can go to sleep because you sound like you're ready. Okay. All right. Let us bow our heads. I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting for this session, that we pick it back up next week with section 11.14, but that everybody has pre-read 11.14 through 22. So the motion is to adjourn the meeting and meet on next week. Do I have a second? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And let me unmute Sister. Okay. And Sister Lorraine. Will you pray us out?
Yes. Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you, Father, for all the work that we're doing to get the bylaws. And thank you for working Molly with us. Thank you, Father, for each person here and for giving what they can to make this document. Thank you, Father, for a great evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right. May the Most High bless you. We will have Sabbath lesson on tomorrow evening. I do have to go to market tomorrow. So I think I'm still going to get up at 4 a.m. I need to prepackage those orders that I deliver on Fridays. I have to do that, and so I'm going to get up at 4 and do that. But then the other trays of microgreens, I'm going to have to figure out how I'm going to transport them going to lay them in the bed of my truck for now. Then I'm going to create some type of little cabinet that I can stick them in the future that just fits in there. I can just lay the trays in there. If it goes over well, then that'll be the business model in the future. I will just take the live microgreens with the, in the trays, and I will harvest them at market, you know, as people order them. That way, doing it that way also what will make sure that we don't waste as many. Because I'm not pre-cutting them, and so they'll still remain alive. And then if I don't sell them by the 10th day of their maturity, because I'm harvesting them, they're 14 days old, so by the 17th day, if they're not sold, then they will be dehydrated and just become part of that the powder mix. If I, you know, because the plan is to go to more markets so that if they don't sell tomorrow, then what will happen is I will have a market the next day or the day after that, whatever. And so I can still sell those same microgreens. They're still, you know, viable. But if they don't sell after that time, then I will harvest them and dehydrate them and make them into, you know, the powdered mix. And then we have another try at what reselling them.
Right.
As that. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments. Have a blessed rest of your evening and stay away from them tornadoes, Sister Mary. Ain't supposed to be playing with those things.
I will.
All right, amen. All right. Peace and blessings, everyone. Shalom. Let me play the credits, and we're out.
Shalom.
reach out to them for me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, family.
Peace and blessings,
peace
to, everyone.
And blessings to everyone.
See you guys on
tomorrow.
All right.